Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Weekend Perspective. I'm Kitty Dunn, along with Jonathan Sutton. And if you live in Madison, you may have noticed there's a lot of water around. We have lakes, we have streams, we have a watershed, and we want to take care of it. So luckily, there's the Clean Lakes Alliance that is helping us do that. And Adam Soderston is here today to talk to us about that and tell us all about the Clean Lakes Alliance. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me in.
First of all, how did the Clean Lakes Alliance, like the lakes have been here forever. Yeah. How long has the Clean Lakes Alliance been around?
Believe it or not, we're celebrating 10 years this year, which is a pretty exciting thing. And so, you know, we've been around since 2010, and our main focus is the Yahara River watershed. So the big five lakes here in the Madison area, Mendota, Monona, Wabisa, Wingra, and Caganza. And then the rivers and streams and wetlands and all the other forgotten things.
Not the puddles.
Well, you know, it's funny, okay. Not the puddles, but actually the puddles are, believe it or not, we care about the puddles because here in Madison, all of our storm sewers are set up to run to the lakes. And so those puddles get into the storm sewers, which then feed the lakes. So what's in those puddles is actually probably really more important.
And it's something that we can have an impact on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll talk about that. But like, why is the Clean Lakes Alliance only 10 years old? Did we only start caring about the lakes 10 years ago?
Well, the interesting thing is I think if you were to stop anybody on the street and say, do you want clean water or do you not? Everyone's going to say yes. And so it was interesting before the Clean Lakes Alliance was around, it wasn't something that was popping up on like general surveys that people were doing. Like, what are the, we want good bike paths. We want good schools. And the good thing here in Madison is when we want something, we get it. You can't build a road or a building or anything else now without thinking of where are we going to park the bikes? Is it going to tie into the Capital City Trail? And so we've done that. And now we're trying to do that with lakes. And so, you know, we have some great buy-in from the city, the county, a lot of the municipalities. And I think people are starting to think about, especially after the floods a few years ago, what can I do? I don't want to see this happen again. How can I help?
So there are a lot of issues affecting our waterways. I was looking through your website and it's like a heavy duty if you try to cover it all.
There's everything. And that's one of the things we really try to do is drill that focus in. So phosphorus is one of our main concerns. And that's runoff from the land that causes those really disgusting blue-green algae blooms you see in the summer. Cyanobacteria is the more scientific name of it. And so if we can reduce that phosphorus, we can reduce the amount of days that we have those cyanobacteria blooms and then reduce the days that the lakes are closed. I mean, people live in Madison because of the lakes. It's a capital city. Without the lakes, we're Lincoln, Nebraska. You know,
right?
Nothing
oh my
against
God.
Lincoln.
No, that's okay. Easier said than done.
Yeah, it's a big lift. It is a big lift, but I think the really exciting thing about this is there's a roadmap. And so in 2012, the Yahara Clean was put together and gives a really unique roadmap of these 14. Well, actually, it was originally 70, and then we had it pared down to 14 things we can do to put money behind to cut phosphorus going into the lakes in half. And so if we can cut that in half, we can double our clear water days. It's there. The science is there. And unlike, maybe some research in medicine where we say, well, we're going to keep, we're hoping for a cure for this. We know the cure. And that's the beautiful part. And the more the community gets behind it, the more it's going to happen.
In this day and age, though, where science is questioned more, do you run into that problem? Or is this just so obvious that there's really no argument where someone is saying the world is flat? No, it's not. It's round.
The beautiful thing about our organization is that we're non-political. And so we have a community board of around 40 people that have people that sit as far right as you can imagine and as far left as you can imagine. And they all seem to agree that something needs to be done to address water issues here in the greater Madison area. And so that's a really good thing. One of the things that we do continue to push is that the climate is changing. It's not that we're maybe getting more rain in a calendar year, but we're getting more intense rainstorms. So we're getting more rain in a short amount of time. That's a little bit more of a hot button issue with some. But believe it or not, anybody who's associated with us is agreeing with that and saying, listen, we've got to address runoff. We've got to figure it out. We've seen it. No matter what you want to say, call it what you want. It's happening.
So, okay, would you say that that's the biggest problem? The biggest thing that you're tackling right now is the phosphorus that's running into the lake?
Absolutely. The runoff is really what we want to control. So, it's both, an urban and a rural problem, and we have both urban and rural solutions. And so most of the farmers on the north end of the watershed are doing a lot of things that they can to reduce that soil runoff. There's buffer strips. They're doing cover crops. So they're thinking of how they're going to keep that soil on the land. Then here in the urban area, what we're trying to do is get people to change something they do. And this seems really odd, is we want them to rake the leaves out of the street in front of their house. It's a very odd thing to say, rake your street, but those leaves act like a tea bag. The water runs through it, takes the phosphorus with it, excuse me, takes it right into the storm sewer. And so if we can do that, we can really reduce that phosphorus here.
So do you ever see someone like blowing their leaves into the street and want to stop your car
it's
and say,
stop
it?
It's weird when you see that now, and you see that and you're like, gosh, if you could just stop that. But actually, what's more heartwarming is when you see it the other way. I was driving this fall down Fish Hatch, and I saw a gentleman raking his street. And I thought, wow, this is great. People are actually doing it. It's working.
It does seem difficult, though. And I wonder if even there should be a different kind of leaf pickup or something that we have. Has that been discussed? Because, you know, in right. our neighborhood, you put them not in the street, but towards
the
terrace, end, and
yeah.
things
and
kind of roll in.
That's one of the things that we're really trying to work with in the next few years, is that every municipality has a different leaf pickup system. It's not like garbage is on Monday or recycling is on Tuesday. The city of Madison does it when they have the ability to do it, you know, when they have the workers free. And so not only is it trying to get a better schedule, so, you know, people who live in Madison know, okay, the second Wednesday of the month is leaf pickup, so I know to have it. Or also, how do we get cars not to park there on that day so the leaf truck can get through? You know, there's all these things that have to happen. They're very simple steps, but again, it's how bad does the community want it to happen?
Right. But I mean, even in like when they do the leaf pickup, and of course, I'm just thinking about my neighborhood.
Right,
yeah. Of course
but,
you are.
you know, they have those cool little scooper trucks, those
right.
little mini ones.
Yep.
And I mean, they end up putting it in the street
yeah,
and they
so
pick up a lot of it, but not all of it.
Not all of it, but they're getting the lion's share of it. And so the old thing that it used to be is, you know, hey, people just rake their leaves in the street and then the little scoopy truck thing would come and get them.
Right.
Well, the problem is when you'd put them in the street and then we'd have an inch rainstorm, you're putting all that phosphorus right into the curb where it's going to be delivered into the storm sewer. So if we can just at least get them up, and actually, you know, if you're a homeowner, that's fertilizer. It's going to make your right. grass grow. And so, you know, for your leaves, you can mulch them up, you can, you know, bag them, or you can, if you let them soak into the ground there, it's going to fertilize your grass. Fertilize the grass is better than fertilizing the
land. It would be nice if it wouldn't snow before you get that done, though.
You know, this was a weird year where you
can
had
you
the
work
race,
on that?
Right, yeah. Gosh, there's so many things we have to do. This was a very odd year, and the city was very upfront saying, look, what do we do? We got, you know, the 4 inches of snow or 8 inches of snow around Halloween.
Yeah.
It was warmer on Christmas than it was on Halloween.
Exactly.
I think, this year.
Yeah, we were doing some mulching on December 21st.
Isn't that crazy?
Which was very crazy. Yeah. We could have done it on Christmas if we didn't have other plans.
We were bundled up in snow pants and jackets on Halloween. My son's birthday is Christmas Day, and we were out on our swing set in short sleeve t-shirts.
Wow.
So welcome to Wisconsin.
Yes, exactly.
You just never know. We're talking with Adam Soderson of the Clean Lakes Alliance. So what would you say the biggest achievement you guys have had since in the 10 years that you've been around?
Honestly, the biggest achievement is just knowledge. Is more people, I think, are very knowledgeable to the issue, and that they're asking, how can we help? So we have a huge network of businesses that are involved in Clean Lakes Alliance that are making donations because they know that the lakes are a huge recruiting tool for them. So if they're flying in talent from New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles, and when they land at the Dane County Airport, if they're flying over a green lake, they know that that's not recruiting this talent to Madison. So a lot of businesses are involved in it. Citizens are really anxious to help, you know, and the hard part is that people want a solution instantly. You know, if you see a problem, you're like, great, the park is dirty, we can clean it up, we're good, let's move on. It's a little bit more of a long game, and it's a little bit of a change in sort of attitudes and how you do things, but I think the biggest accomplishment is we're seeing a difference. We're reducing phosphorus. It is something that if we continue on this path, there will be a noticeable change in Madison.
Can I ask a really dumb question?
Yes.
Which I'm really good at.
Go ahead.
Is there any way how the sewers go right into the lakes that there's something else with a whole lot of money that could
catch it in the storm sewer?
I don't know.
Look, there's always outside the box engineering that maybe we haven't thought of yet. And one of the things that is in that 14 list of items is innovative solutions.
Yeah.
And so there's things that weren't thought of in 2012 that are now. A great example of that is if you've heard of Suck the Muck, which is the county's project where they're removing this sediment from stream beds up north of Lake Mendota, that they're removing it before it washes into the lake and then washes down. So this is something we didn't know about in 2012, but we're doing it now. And so is there something 15 years from now that could go in the storm sewers?
It doesn't exist, though. It's not like other places have it, and it's like $1 billion.
Right, yeah, Milwaukee has what's called a combined system, so they treat a lot of their stormwater. It's just when the city was set up in the mid-1800s, that's how they set it up. I mean, our Madison Metropolitan Sewage District, for really good things that were thought of when that was set up in the early 20th century, was it's south of both Lakes Mendota and Monona, so it's... You know, unfortunately, Wabisa and Caganza are still downstream from it, but they set it up in the right area where the affluent water is missing a lot of the is south of the isthmus.
Gotcha. But I was just going to say, "Suck the Muck" sounds like is that an album title?
You know what's funny is I think if you talk to County Executive Parisi, they have a much more scientific name for it, and then somebody who writes for the state journal said, "Hey, well, we're sucking muck out of the lake," and then they're like, "This is great. People can remember this." I think he even said, he's like, "I should put this on a t-shirt because I think I could sell it.
I agree.
We could make money to actually do the project."
Right. So you mentioned, business is giving Clean Lakes Alliance money. How does, what kind of money are we talking, and where do you guys spend the money? How do you decide that?
So, there's different businesses that are involved at different levels. I mean, between somebody who's a $500 or $1,000 donor all the way up to, hundreds of thousands of dollars, or $1 million commitment over a certain years. We have four big businesses that were involved with us from the beginning. So Land's End, Spectrum Brands, Foley and Larder, and then the Madison Community Foundation. These kind of gave us the seed money to get going. And where the money goes, that the three main things that we really focus on are lake improvement projects. So whether that's funding a retention pond in Middleton, or funding buffer strips on the north end, or helping with restore the new Pheasant Branch Conservancy land. So that's an improvement project. Adult and children education. So we do a 101, Yahar Lakes 101 series every month at the Edgewater, where we bring in a scientist or somebody to talk about the lakes. And then we have a kids program where we're teaching kids how to fish, how to identify microorganisms in the lake, different things like that. And then citizen monitoring. That's the third place where it goes. And this is super cool. We have a network of around 70 citizen monitors around all five lakes, and they test the water once a week in the summer. And it's uploaded to our website, lakeforecast.org, so you can see exactly what the clarity, the temperature, and what things are at Marshall Park versus James Madison Park. And that's cool because the lakes are dynamic. So it could be, you could have a cyanobacteria bloom on the north end of Mendota, but on the north end of Monona, things are fine. So if you're planning that beach trip, that lakeforecast.org is really helpful.
Maybe we should include that in our... weather forecast,
yeah.
Right?
Memorial Day to Labor Day is when we have the citizen scientist testing, and it's you can touch it, you can see exactly what they're seeing, you see the temperature. And it's very simple tools. They have a tube that's about the length of a meter stick that they're looking into and letting water out so they can see what the clarity is. But these very simple tools are giving some really unique readings that are very useful to lake users.
All right, should we talk about a party?
Yeah. You guys have a lot of fundraisers during the year, and big one coming up, which is Frozen Fest, and it's gotten really, really huge.
It's a big one. So this is the ninth year of Frozen Assets. It started off as just a fundraiser. So we figured, we'd get together, we'd have a good time, we'd talk about the lakes a little bit, but just kind of getting everybody together. And it has now since shifted, so we still hold this fundraiser component of it, but we have a large community-wide, family-friendly festival, and it's free. It's on the lake at the Edgewater. There's just amazing things you can do. The thing is that a lot of people that live in Madison has never been on a frozen lake, and they are our city's largest parks when they're frozen. And so you can snowshoe, you can ski, you can take a sleigh ride, you can play pond hockey, all these things that we have at Frozen Assets for people to try out, 100% free.
Very cool. And then you've got some events leading up to it in the evenings at the Edgewater.
Yeah, some cool things. So we're trying to engage different parts of the community. So Monday night, February 3rd, we have a Women in Water and Sustainability event where three different women who are in various fields relating to water are going to kind of present their research, and then you'll get to network with them. Tuesday is a Skate with Bucky night. Everybody loves Bucky. Wednesday night is date night. The Edgewater is doing some fun stuff. Thursday night, we have a really cool business networking event where we're getting a lot of just networking clubs together to talk about the lakes and some exciting things. Friday, there's an outside concert at the Edgewater, which is really cool. And then Saturday, February 8th, is our large festival. And we'll do probably 6,000 people there. Actually, the festival is going to start that morning with a 5K held entirely on Frozen Lake Mendota.
And you've had fun going out on the lake, making sure that it's frozen all the time.
You know, part of the job was the hand ice auger and making sure. And luckily right now we have good ice and we're pretty confident we're going to have a great festival.
Sounds great. Adam Soderston with the Clean Lakes Alliance, thanks for taking some time with us.
Thank you.
And if you want more information about Frozen Fest or the Clean Lakes Alliance and the work they do to improve the quality of Madison's lakes, go to cleanlakesalliance.org. For Weekend Perspective, along with Jonathan Sutton, I'm Kitty Dunn.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.